Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
We're so thankful to have each and every one of you this morning with us today. And over the last few weeks, several weeks, we've been talking about truth is. And, you know, we've talked about the Bible is still God's word and it's still relevant and it's still powerful and it still does what it says it's going to do. And we talked about the Ten Commandments over the last, are they still relevant to who we are? And we kind of broke them down to literally what they mean to us today. But I want to tell you something. I want you to understand this. Can I be clear? We are not Bible scholars. I didn't even graduate college. 6.5 years, I'm still working on it. No, I'm not really. We're not theologians. We're not experts. We ask you to search the scriptures and pray that the Holy Spirit's going to lead you into all truth. Don't hang everything, because I'll make a mistake every once in a while. Y'all, anybody human out there? Yeah. Superhuman people, not me. You know, we'll make a mistake. We might even say something that it's taken the wrong way. But I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to say, okay, what is it speaking to me right now? God has really called me, in my mind, to speak the truth and speak the truth in love over these next several weeks. And, you know, you don't get a lot of that anymore in church right now. And it's the truth is, heaven is real. And 70-some percent believe that heaven is real, and most people believe that everyone is going to heaven. You know all dogs go to heaven. You saw the movie, right? So it has to be true. But they believe, you hear these things sometimes, you see the movies, that heaven is real, and there's 90 minutes in heaven, and heaven is waiting. And you have heard the phrase that if you're good, you're going to go to heaven. You've heard the phrase also people talking about, they're up there looking down on us. They're up there where the angels are. They're in a better place. There's a movie called Afterlife, and it's stories of people who've experienced glimpses of heaven and hell. Do you know that approximately, I want you to put your spiritual ears on this morning. I want you to let your guard down. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what's about to be presented to you this morning. And approximately 105 people die every minute. But the reality of that is most of those people don't go to heaven. In fact, most don't. Look at Matthew 7:13. It says, enter, if you've been here a while now, we like to quote this one. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that find it. I was praying about this message. Some things happened this week and I was praying, God, what do you want me to say? And this was not the one I wanted to choose. And, you know, so I wrestled around with it and even up to the last minute, I was like, I just don't know what I need to say. But we were sitting in a restaurant and Cade was looking over at the thing, and there was a scary mask. And every time it turned, the air conditioner was blowing it around. And every time we would blow it around, he'd go, I'm scared of that. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to be around that. And this mask was very evil looking. Yeah. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not a huge Halloween fan. Just the way I was raised and some other things that I think about, and I'm not going to share all that with you today. But the title is, I started thinking about it, the truth is the title, but is, we all believe there's a heaven, but is there a hell? I struggled with this message. You know why? Because it's not popular. Yeah. Most churches shy away from it. They don't talk about it because their fear of offending people and frightening, and it might be offensive to some. And we want everyone to come to church to be comfortable. Jesus did not preach comfortability. He taught us to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me each day. We avoid the old-fashioned stereotypes of hellfire and brimstone. I was raised in hellfire and brimstone. Preached about hell 6 times a month. If you said a cuss word, you're going straight to hell. Don't even collect $200. Don't go past go. You're going. But I think we've veered away from talking about the truth and the reality of certain things, that we don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We want to make everything comfortable for everyone. And we have a difficulty sometimes reconciling that a loving God, it's a challenge. The idea of a loving and merciful God could lead people to hell. He doesn't lead anyone to hell. They focus on other topics because it's easier to talk about. Listen, this series has not really been that easy for me. God's called us out of easy. He's called us out of our comfortable place. He's called us into a place where, can I just be honest with you, time is short. The enemy's doing everything that he can to right now to disrupt us, to distract us, to do the things to keep us from going in the direction he wants us to go into. So I think it's high time that we get heightened to what's going on in our world. We live in a hyper grace, living in a blessed life, comfortable life. But Billy Graham, who they said is outdated, I read this just the other day. They said Billy Graham, his style is probably outdated right now. But I'm telling you one thing, that man is standing up here, a general, and millions of souls have been won by Billy Graham. You know what he said? If there was more preaching on hell in the pulpit, there would be less like living in hell in the pew. That was Billy Graham, that wasn't me. Pastors, not just evangelists, should preach on the subject. There are eternal consequences that are attached to your sin and to your unbelief. You remember the old saying, YOLO? You only live once. False. Your physical body will die, but our soul is going to live forever, and it's going to spend eternity in one of two places. Man, I feel like I'm in the tent revival right now. Here's the thing. We veer away from it. I remember when I used to preach revivals, and you could go into a church and you could preach hellfire, brimstone. You could preach whatever you want to. Guess why? Because you got to leave. The pastors would be like, yes, say that. That's awesome. Do that. You got to leave, but when you pastor people, you have to be able to have a gentle side of you. But I do believe that the truth is offensive to some, and I believe the truth is something that people want to hear, but they're afraid to hear, or they're just plugging their ears to hear it. Jesus himself spoke about eternal life, the kingdom. He's talked about heaven, but he also talked about hell. So if Jesus talked about it, it must be important. Matthew 10:28 says this, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Mark 9:44-43 says this, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Metaphorically, or I don't know. It is better for you to enter life maimed rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. Currently, 53% of people believe there is a hell. That used to be way higher. And only really, 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 really bad people go there. The church doesn't even talk about it. They hardly talk about it. And even in the versions of the Bible, the NIV, the NLT, the Message, they skip over this verse. Look for it in there. You won't find it. Where the worm, Mark 9:44 in the King James, my dad says it's the most holy version, where the worm dies not and the fire is not quenched. Heaven is real, so is hell. Hell is a physical place. But here's the good news. It wasn't intended for us. Right. Matthew 25:41 says this, then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. We have a choice. All the way back to the garden, it started right in the middle of that garden with a choice. God placed a choice there because he didn't want us to be robots. He didn't want us just to do the things he wanted us to do. He wanted to give us a choice to make the right choice. Guess what? We didn't. We're faced with choices every day. Has anybody in here ever made a bad choice? Get your hands in the air. Maybe that choice cost you something. Maybe you have a criminal record now, or maybe you have a bad relationship, or maybe you made some bad. I should be retired by now from all the bad financial things I made in my life. But now you're living in your past. And listen, young people, if you make good choices when you're young, you don't have the heartache and pain of what you're going to have to go through. Can I get an amen on that from you seasoned people out there? Don't you wish you could hit rewind on some certain things in your life? It would save a whole lot less heartache and pain. But how we choose determines our destination and how long it takes for us to get there. Yeah. But fortunately, unfortunately, in the garden, we made the wrong choice. And when we did, it opened the door to sin and to judgment. 2 Corinthians, you're getting a lot of Bible this morning. That's why you know it ain't me saying it. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all stand before Christ and be judged. We will all receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. The saying, you can't have mercy without justice, it means that true mercy requires the foundation of justice, and mercy without justice is disorder and chaos. Yeah. Justice is needed to identify wrongdoing, which gives mercy. I added this morning. This was so good. Which gives mercy purpose and allows us to have offerings of forgiveness. Don't you glad there's mercy and God? We serve a merciful God. Yes. On the other hand, justice without mercy is cruelty. I'm so glad we serve a merciful God. The Bible says his mercies are renewed each day, and I got to get up each day and say, God, thank you for your mercies, because I'm going to need them today. Oh. Luke 15, my favorite parable. I'm not going to talk about it this morning. But it talks about the prodigal son. I preached him upside down, up all the way around. But it talks about forgiveness and mercy and just how good the Father is. There's also another story. Some say it's a parable, others say it's a real story. But in Luke 16, it says this. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously each day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. What may have been some of this rich man's sins? Could it have been greed? Could it have been selfishness? I think a little bit of it is he saw him often. He sat at his gates. He walked past him each and every day, and he did nothing to help this man. I think unconcern for people around us is a big sin in our lives. I think so many times we walk past people because we feel like they're not good enough. Well, let me tell you something. You used to not be good enough. Next time you want to look down your long nose of religion, you need to start thinking, man, where was I last year? Where was I 10 years ago? This man walked by him, and I guess there was unconcern because it didn't affect him. Let me tell you, when we walk into this world, there's a lot of things that affect us, that should affect us. Let me put it to you this way. He walked by this man every single day. And what happens when we do that? It can dull our senses. In Luke 16, it says, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which represents heaven. And the rich man also died and was buried. Death comes to rich, to poor, to young, to old. It is no respecter of persons. Hebrews 9:27 says, and it is appointed for men to die once, physical. But after that, the judgment. Luke 16:23, I know I'm spitting them at you. And in hell, he lift up his eyes being in torments. Here's the rich man. And seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in this cool water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, son, remember. I'm going to leave the remember right there. That you in your lifetime, you received good things. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are in torment. Hell is a real place of flames and torment. We think about that all the time. We talk about the flames of hell. But what happens in hell, your senses are very heightened. You will remember. You will remember every time you rejected Christ if you don't make it into heaven. You're going to remember every time that you should have done the right thing. And you know what else? You're going to be tormented by your thoughts. It says the gnashing of teeth. It's going to be because some are going to be fierce and other ones are going to be there because, man, I knew better. Why didn't I? Why? We're going to live a life of why. And it's also going to be separation. This is the worst one. It's going to be separation from God. Do you know why that's the worst one? Because you are fearfully and you are wonderfully made. You are made in the image of God. That is why the enemy hates you so much. It's because when you take a breath, you're breathing in God. But when there is that separation, there's a darkness. Come on. There's a darkness out there that you'll no longer be able to have access to a holy God. And you're going to live with that regret. I ain't even going to say rest of your life. There's a thing called eternity. We can't even get our mind around. Sometimes we try to get our mind around that, and we can't even fathom what that means. It means never ending. How can you think about that never ending? I have a hard time with that. Because we live our life in such a span of just years and decades and days, but this is a life of eternity. And hopelessness is going to be one of those things. I read a story where the guy said, I died. I was dead literally for like 10 minutes. And he said, I never saw a flame, never saw a demon, never saw anything in that. He said, I was in a black room. And he said, the hopelessness and the separation was unbearable. I just knew that I was in this black room forever. He said, I was tormented by my thoughts. That's why I brought this up. I was tormented by my thoughts. And he said, I didn't see anything that other people have saw. He said, all I saw was a separation that I no longer had access to God, hopelessness. Luke 16, and it says, besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here cannot, nor those that want to go from there cannot pass. Here, listen to me. There is no more mercy, no more grace when you take your last breath if you don't know Jesus. I don't know how much easier I can say that, because it's not easy to say that. I've had people say they're praying for someone. I said, well, that's good. If they've already taken their last breath, they had every opportunity that they could do on this side of heaven. There's no coming back from it. I know this is hard. I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amens this morning. You're going to spend eternity in one place, heaven or hell. And the prayers will go unanswered in hell, no matter how much you pray. Then he said in Luke 16, I beg you therefore, Father, this is so important, y'all. Therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers. I have a family. I have a family that I don't want them to be where I'm at. Come on, with this side of heaven, we need to get a heart that we got a family. We don't want them to be. My family is going to be saved in the name of Jesus. I've been praying for it. I've been believing for it. And it's going to happen this side of eternity. Let me reiterate to you. Hell is a real place, but it wasn't prepared for you. It was intended for the devil and demons. And it says, and I'm going to go back. Then he shall also say to them on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But if you don't accept Jesus and his free gift of salvation and make him Lord of your life, it will be a destination that you may face. Revelation 21:8 says this. But the cowardly, not standing up for me, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Everything evil is going to be put to death in that lake of fire. Revelation 20:15. Thank you for keeping up. And anyone not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. God is just and has mercy, but man is sinful. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. If you say you have no sin, the Bible says you're a liar. And you fall, it said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Whew. Here's an illustration of justice and mercy. Two men went through school, university together. They developed a close friendship. Life went on. They went their separate ways and lost contact. One went out to become a judge, while the other spiraled downward into a criminal life. One day, the criminal appeared before the judge, and he had committed a crime to which he pleaded guilty. The judge recognized his old friend and faced the dilemma, which what God faces. He was a judge, so he had to be just. He couldn't simply just let the man off. On the other hand, he wanted to be merciful because he loved his friend. So he fined him the correct penalty for the offense. That was justice. Then he came down off the bench. And he wrote a check to pay for his offense. That's mercy. Come on. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty. God is not soft on crime. He judges us because we're guilty. Our sentence is death. We face death. But God loved us so much that he gave us a way of escape. He knew the cost was great. The cost would hide. It would cost God more than what money could pay. For God so loved the world that he gave his prized possession for us, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. They won't have to worry about this place, but have eternal life. It shows that mercy and love, he would give the sacrifice in his greatest possession. And he came in the person of himself in Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty for our sins. He said, it is finished. When he said, it is finished, we got to quit. We got to start living that finished life. So many times we resurrect everything around us. God said, it is finished. I've taken care of it. You don't have to remember it anymore, because you know why? I don't remember it anymore. Come on, this is good news. Yes, it's a real place, but this is the good news of the gospel. That you're given a choice. The cross should remind us what Jesus did for us. Why is the cross important? Because we were guilty. We were sinners, and we needed a Savior. But I love it. It says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, he ain't waiting for you to get it together, because Holy Ghost is one to clean you up. Aren't you glad that he didn't wait for you? Come on, he's still working on me. And he's still working on anybody in here? Anybody have a few faults and failures you're still trying to work out that salvation with fear and trembling with? Woo, I am, Sam. We full of it. But while we were yet sinners, he didn't have his tally mark up there. He didn't have his marker. He didn't have his permanent marker up there marking our little checks off. Come on. While we were yet sinners, he died for us. It shows that our Father in heaven loves you more than you can ever love your earthly children. I love my grandbabies. I love my kids. It doesn't even come close to the love that God loves you with. I know you may be sitting back. There's a lot of people that can't really... I still struggle sometimes with that. God, I get you. Because of the way I was raised. But I know that God loves me. I know that God approves of me. And even if sometimes I got to get up and I got to tell myself that every day, you are chosen. Come on, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Anybody got an amen in here? You got to talk your way out of the depression that you're in. You got to talk your way out of the anxiety. You got to talk your way out of the way you were raised. Jesus conquered death and hell for us. In Revelations, it says this, I am he that lives. I'm doing King James Version. Hallelujah. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive and forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell. I'm holding them. They're mine. He has the keys to death and hell. That means he has the power to release us from spiritual death. Those who receive this gift of salvation, oh my gosh, eternity is going to be blissful. But we hear people say all the time, oh, you got to hear this. How can a loving God, come on, I've heard this one. How can a loving God send anyone to hell? I got news for you. God ain't sending no one to hell. Romans 8:38 says this, for I am persuaded, thank you, Jesus, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, now, or things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. He ain't sending nowhere nothing. You know what he's doing? He's chasing you. Relentlessly chasing you all over the place. Thank you, God, that you didn't give up on me. Thank you, God, that you didn't give up on some of those sitting out here today. Thank you that you're chasing us. You're relentless in your pursuit. He's relentless, and he's not ever going to give up on you, neither height nor depth. I can tell you right now, God should have given up on me a few times in my life. Anybody out there like that? Me? Thank you for being honest. He should have written me off. He should have said, I'm done, like we do. I'm guilty of that one. I'm done. I'm good. I'm so glad I don't serve a God that way. He loves us so much that he gives us a choice. And it's up to us to make the right choice. And can I be real? Y'all come up. Can I be real? It matters what you choose, and it matters how you live. I know this is not popular. I don't even know if I'm going to get anybody liking on YouTube. I don't care. Because if it changes the hearts and minds of one person sitting in here or someone who will click on and actually listen to it, hey, I've done what God has mandated and called me to do. Accepting or rejecting Jesus can affect your eternity, and it can affect your future. And can I tell you this much right now? I'm going to break it down to you. Accepting is more than just saying a prayer. It's more than just going to church occasionally. It's more than just being a good person. And you say, Pastor, it sounds like you're spreading a lot of fear. Oh, I added this morning. That's why I was adding all kinds of stuff. Sounds like you're spreading fear. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, let me explain something to you. The fear of God means deep respect. It means awe. It means reverence of God's majesty and his power. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him in that sense. It involves trusting, walking, acknowledging his authority, and striving to live the best life. Where did I hear this week? Said, how would you act if you knew Jesus was sitting right next to you? Where did we hear that? I heard that somewhere. Men's group. Hey, praise God. Every second and fourth Tuesday, we have a great men's group. But we said that. How would we talk? What would we do if we knew Jesus? We got to know that he's with us. There is no if we knew. He's with us. So it should change the way that our language. It should change the places we go, the actions that we take. Oh, thank you back there, men's group man. The manly man of men's group. Truth is, God is madly in love with you. And he's preparing a place for those who accept his free gift of salvation. Let me prove it to you in the Bible. We're almost done. John 14 says, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He has preparation for you, and he has preparation for the devil and his demons. Heaven is prepared for you if you'll accept that free gift. Hell is prepared for the devil and his demons. I just wanted to say that like four more times so you understand that. It's not the destination for us, but it's real. We're not promised tomorrow. Let's all stand. We're not promised tomorrow. In the book of James, it says life is a vapor. You know what a vapor is? It's here today and boom, 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 it's gone. So many of us can look back on our lives. Keep playing. So many of us can look back on our lives and we can look back on just the years that we've spent. I mean, I'm going to be 39 here for too long. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to be almost 60 years old in February. That's a vapor. When I look back at my kids now, I mean, we have kids that are in their 30s, you know, mid-30s. It's a vapor. I remember my son was walking around Cade's age. It's a vapor. You're not promised tomorrow. So I'm asking you this morning, if you've never made that profession of faith to call Jesus Christ your Savior, you're faced with a choice to accept him or not. And it starts by a simple confession of Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, I have fallen short and I need you, God, to just change my life. I believe that you're the Son of God. But the Bible says we've got to believe and receive what we say. Confession is saying, Father, I come to you and accept your free gift of salvation because it didn't cost me anything. It cost you everything. Thank you, Jesus. Change my heart. Change my mind. Change my attitude. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that your mercies are renewed each and every day. If you've never made that profession of faith, there'll be someone on the left and the right up here to pray with you. The altars will be open. And I really believe that this message was for today. Not next week, not the week before last, but today. And I really believe that, listening to Billy Graham again this week, he said repentance should not ever be a bad word in your life. He said you should live a life of repentance. This is one of the greatest generals of the faith that I ever heard, I'm telling you. He said you should live a lifestyle of repentance. Amen. And that's not meaning walking around saying, God, I'm sorry. That's just living a lifestyle of knowing I'm falling short right now in this area and I need you, Jesus. Maybe there's some things there's some things in your life that by taking a simple walk of faith to an altar and saying, God, I'm laying this down to you. Yes, I've been struggling with it. There's no shame in the game if you're going through something and you need God to change it. That's how he changes lives, when you come to him fully and say, God, I've been trying to fix this. I've been trying to walk away from this. I've been trying to hide this. And God, I just want to be open with you today. They're going to sing a song this morning. It's usually the ending song. But it can be a beginning song for you this morning. These altars are going to be open. Take full advantage of Jesus' calling this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.